the whole bandwagon of following England is just bonkers. And they win a game and it's like, well, they're the best team in the world, and they're so not.
OTB AM, weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Ready for your next big move? The trip from the fridge to the couch. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie.
Now, you're welcome, Max. So happy to say the Euros are but mere hours away at this stage. Amy Lawrence from The Athletic has been taking a close look at France and Mbappe in particular. Hi, Amy.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, very well. Nice to have this around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems incredible. I've got slightly mixed feelings because, you know, my idea of tournaments is as much to do with the whole atmosphere around and people from certainly impinged, if not absent in some cases. But, you know, international football, big tournaments, let's get going. Can't wait.
Yeah. So you took a deep dive on the career of Mbappe and the youth of Mbappe. Quite struck by Arsene Wenger's first thought when he saw him for the first time at Monaco. It's Pele.
I know. And what was really nice about it is when Arsene was actually telling me that story, he kind of gasped all over again. He obviously took himself back to that moment. He kind of could have, you know, remembered how it felt to stand there. And I think all of us in life, you have moments where you see something special, whether it's in sport, whether it's in music, whether, you know, whatever walk of life it might be in, it knocks your socks off when it's unusually exceptionally brilliant, surprisingly so. And you know, for a lot of people, Mbappe has that quality where whenever they first came across him, just the way he moves across a football pitch, I'm struggling to compare him to too many players who are playing nowadays who have that capacity to, you know, to make you suck your breath in and your eyes widen and you're really on the edge of your seat just admiring the way he moves across a football pitch and that sense that he can do something magical at any moment. The speed with which he operates, but with such grace and power and imagination as well, for his age, I can't think of many players I enjoy watching much more at the moment. And yeah, it's definitely that thing where it's obvious and you look into his history and the people who have helped form him, it's so obvious that, you know, those spectacularly unique qualities he manages to bring together in one package made him exceptional from the get-go. And the way his career has been prepared, if you like, is as if from a very young age, those around him just knew it's just a question of like taking care of this thing because it's happening.
I mean, I guess with the blossoming of the Champions League, international football has suffered. And yet these major tournaments still stick in everyone's memory. They are still an opportunity almost to rubber stamp your arrival. And Mbappe's beyond that now, of course. Like, he has more than arrived. We're not talking about this, hey, kid, you may not have heard of everyone. Mbappe has arrived. But what jumped out to us maybe is really exciting about the next couple of weeks is that he's playing in this brilliant French team. So he'll have ample opportunity to really do something special. And it was a quote Arsene Wenger gave you as well, which was, if you take a group of talented players between the age of 17 and 20, the most recent studies show that at 20, a little group separates from the others. Then he said at 22, 23, and Mbappe is 22, at 22, 23 years old, there's another separation. So a smaller group moves away from the others again and goes completely to the top. He is at that age and he's at that phase. This is the last hurdle for the top, top player to move away from the rest. They continue to improve. And he's fully of the opinion that Mbappe will separate himself again and we're at that age. So the thought of it happening at a European Championship is kind of amazing.
Well, I think the fact that he did it at a World Cup 3 years ago in itself was amazing. Mm. That was that first separation. That was his first kind of opportunity to soar away, I think, from the, you know, the rest of the good players in his kind of contemporary age group. But I look back on, I mean, particularly with France and this idea that they've got a kind of potential double. For those of us who are old enough to remember their 98 to 2000 World Cup and Euros double, Zidane was the man of that World Cup in 1998. And yet he wasn't anywhere near his peak then. That was the most intriguing thing, was that 2 years later in 2000, he played some of the finest football individually as part of a more mature team that, you know, that absolutely merited the fact that he was the man of a great team that went on to win that tournament. And I find myself wondering whether something similar is possible for Mbappe, that yes, he arrived at the last tournament in terms of that global sort of international tournament scene, but this one he could be and should be even better. He, you know, all the statistics and his all-round game suggests that he is an improved player since he astonished us in Russia.
His parents then, interesting people. His father, Wilfried, he was the coach of AS Bondy, Bondy being the outskirts of Paris, a suburb where the family grew up, and then his mother, a professional handball player. And they have, as you alluded to earlier on, they realise pretty early on there's something special about this kid. This is somebody we need to protect. And so, you know, Zidane, the Real Madrid player and French legend, giving him a personal tour, and Chelsea having him over for a week, and Wenger talking to him, all of that was going on and agents were hanging around. They ring-fenced him against, one, a foreign move early, and two, against all those agents. So they are militant in how they handle him to this day, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it was really smart, and they had the intelligence as well as obviously the care, that recognizing the dangers. If you let a young kid have unbelievable amounts of money and celebrity at a very young age and sort of chase everything, and that happens from time to time and can be a real danger. They have a very strict control. They only let a very trusted small amount of people take responsibility for anything concerning his life and career, and it means he's got his feet quite sort of solidly on the ground. And that was the case from the get-go. I mean, I thought it was a really nice little anecdote about when young Kilian, as a little boy, used to go and train at AS Bondy, his father's club, and for quite a while the dad, who was the coach there, used to go in the morning and be one of the first people at the training ground and leave quite late. And Kilian would arrive with his mum, get dropped off and picked up by her. And there was lots of people who had no clue that Kilian was his father's son. And it was like one day he turned around and said, like, "Oh, Papa," you know, and everyone laughed. And the secret was out. But they tried to avoid the trappings of fame, too much pressure, kind of every step of the way. And that's why, you know, some people think he could be playing for any club in the world. He could be, you know, representing any massive company in the world with endorsements. And they keep it as controlled as I think is possible in the modern world.
Wenger made the point that this season he's played 47 games for PSG, scored 42 goals, and you throw in 11 assists on top of that, he's directly involved in more than a goal a game. And he made a point I totally agree with, I think is true and applicable to Mbappe, that growing up in the Messi-Ronaldo era, it has sort of shifted the goalposts for what aspiring strikers have to do now. I mean, the days of like more than a goal a game were just insane in the 90s. Like, it just wasn't a thing.
And a goal every other game was brilliant.
Oh, you were great.
When I was growing up.
Yeah,
that was,
totally.
That was about as good as it got.
So that has changed, and he's probably internalised that somehow.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think it's interesting that Mbappe has sort of grown up in this era where I think he was 3 when Ronaldo made his debut and 5 when Messi did. So his entire childhood and upbringing, I think his walls were plastered with Ronaldo posters in particular, were kind of idealising this sense of the highest bar that we currently know, which has been represented by those two players. That's, you know, if you want to be the best, that's what you need to aim for. Mm. So it's been an influence for him. And I think where Wenger was interesting is he's saying, look, we've had these guys for 15 years. That's a hell of a long time. And you're waiting for the next ones, you know, to appear after that. But in that 15 years, how many players would you genuinely say have been around, not just at that level, but with that longevity, to be that good for that long? Can you name anyone? It's tricky.
No, not even close.
And it really feels like it's taken 15 years to have someone appear who, it's early days and he may not achieve it, but who certainly has the credentials that he may be at the top of his game at that kind of level for that kind of amount of time if things treat him well in terms of injuries and in terms of his career development.
So his fortunes over the next couple of weeks obviously are tied to France's. And you mentioned 20 years ago, and I'm unfortunately old enough to vividly remember that French team and like fell in love with them. You know, they were just so magic. The parallels are so striking in so many ways. Like, I do remember post the World Cup win, in advance of the Euros, there was just a sense of, well, France are clearly the best team here. They're probably going to win this tournament. And then they duly did. And that's kind of the vibe here with France at the moment. I you know, people are mentioning other teams, obviously, but it's all underlined by, but France probably are going to do it.
Look, it's a heck of a thing to go into a tournament and have that certainty. And I had the luck to speak to Didier Deschamps this week, and he used that word certainty and talked about it in terms of it, you know, that you cannot go through life thinking anything is a certainty, and the dangers of the risks of imagining that, you know, there's some kind of predestined idea that you can show up and be the best. And in many ways, I think it really, really helps France that they have a manager who has done it all. And now, Deschamps was the captain. He got over 100 caps for France as a player. And when he was the captain of France, he was kind of like a manager anyway.
Yeah.
The way he used to talk to the other players in that era was not your normal player or even your normal captain. He was quite obsessive with the way that he would constantly be kind of instructing, questioning, challenging. And that force of personality in terms of the game, talking tactics and making sure people have slept enough at night and have they eaten well and are they in good shape and, you know, how are they feeling? I mean, he was just doing it all the time. So, he, you know, he knows how it is to, he's quite interested in this idea of living a tournament. So, whole Benzema thing, for example, which obviously is, we haven't even mentioned yet, but is fascinating. Part of the reason why it was such a surprise that Benzema came back is that Deschamps has really firm ideas about, like, look, we're going to a tournament and we want to be there for weeks. You've got to live with each other. You've got to live with each other morning, noon and night. You've got to see each other at breakfast. You're going to see each other on the bus going to training. You're going to see each other traveling to games. You're going to see each other every session in the physio room at night when you're relaxing. You're like, short of actually being asleep or just taking a little while to chill out in your room, you are kind of in the pockets of 25 other guys. And, you know, people don't always get on. That's life. And somehow you have to create the most harmonious, livable with environment for that period to have success. And he's tried to replicate that, I think. So that's why the reappearance of Benzema was a bit of a, like, whoa, you know, this is not what we expected from a Deschamps squad. But I think he knows what he's doing. And he'll be hoping that gamble, you know, doesn't disrupt anything, which so far certainly doesn't seem to be any signs of any trouble there. They are strong and they know how to win tournaments, but they know full well complacency is an enemy and I don't think will be allowed. But one false move, one game that goes a long way, one VAR decision, you just can't be that certain. But there's the only thing you're certain of is that they really, really want to do it and they will be giving everything they can.
Yeah.
Making every sacrifice possible to succeed in the tournament.
And even in 2000, as amazing as they were, it was still a golden goal, Trezeguet kind of thing. So,
it was a golden goal, and it was also a penalty in the dying moments in the semi-final against Portugal when there was chaos on the pitch and the Portuguese players walked off the pitch and everybody was going completely crazy. And Zidane was like a Zen master in the middle of it, waiting for like 3 minutes to take the penalty in the last minute of the game to sort it out. You know, knockout games in tournaments tend to be very, very close and very, very fine margins. So that's why whether you back France or anyone else, you know you need luck on your side.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out as well, if they were feeling any way complacent or too good about life, I mean, Group D sort of makes them sit up a bit straighter. Like, this is what's so great about this tournament. I think everyone's sort of looking forward to see how England get on, even over here, and there's the Scottish match and then they're in a tough group as well and we're obviously so familiar with all the players. And then there is Group D, which is France, Portugal, Germany, and then Hungary as well, who, you know, I'm sure will go there and cause someone trouble in one of their three games. So right from the off, we're kind of high stakes stuff from France. They can't really ease themselves into this tournament.
I think that suits them, though, because I think when you're on in that kind of, you know, it's hard to ease yourself sometimes into a tournament. You've got to find your rhythm. They, you know, especially when you're hot favourites, I think they've got to be on it from the get-go, which maybe helps them to have that sort of intensity of, you know, of everything that they do being spot on, because they can't make a mistake.
Yeah. Well, let's see how they go. Let's see how Mbappe goes. Really enjoyed the piece. It's on The Athletic if people want to check it out. Amy Lawrence, thanks so much.
Pleasure. Take care.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Ready for your next big move? The trip from the fridge to the couch. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.